How do you prepare for the greatest event in human history? Hi, I'm Chris Montgomery, Senior Pastor of Fraser Church here in Montgomery, Alabama, and I'm excited to welcome you to Fraser 365. In this study, we're asking what it looks like to truly and thoroughly prepare ourselves for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is our hope that you come to a deeper knowledge of the gospel as we're challenged and encouraged in the days to come.
You're listening to Day 37 of Preparation for Resurrection. Our title today is Waiting for Deliverance. Josh Smith and Daniel Aiken said, "Trust the Lord, do His will, and proclaim His greatness while you patiently wait for Him to rescue you." Our text today is Psalm 40, 5 through 10. "You have multiplied, O Lord my God, your wondrous deeds and your thoughts toward us. None can compare with you. I will proclaim and tell of them, yet they are more than can be told. In sacrifice and offering you have not delighted, but you have given me an open ear. Burnt offering and sin offering you have not required. Then I said, 'Behold, I have come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me, I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is written in my heart. I have told the glad news of deliverance in the great congregation. Behold, I have not restrained my lips, as you know, O Lord. I have not hidden your deliverance within my heart. I have spoken of your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your steadfast love and your faithfulness from the great congregation.'" Psalm 40 begins with these words from David. "I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry." This psalm is a plea of deliverance and has the same theme of waiting for the Lord as found in Psalms 37 through 39. Waiting for the Lord shouldn't lessen our desire for God's deliverance. Instead, we should wait in eager anticipation. Our desire should be strengthened the longer we wait. The problem is that no one likes to wait. We live in a culture filled with instant everything, including instant coffee and instant oatmeal. We have fast internet because we want our information faster than the speed of light. We have apps for everything under the sun so that our every whim is at our fingertips. In this fast-paced wait-for-nothing society, we have lost the art of learning to wait. It's in the waiting times that trust in God is heightened and our faith in Him is renewed. Waiting on God is also the way God grows our character towards Christ-likeness. G. Campbell Morgan writes, "Waiting for God is not laziness. Waiting for God is not going to sleep. Waiting for God is not the abandonment of effort. Waiting for God means, first, activity under command. Second, readiness for any new command that may come. Third, the ability to do nothing until the command is given. Therefore, while we wait for the Lord, we focus on His character and commands. This time spent crying out for the Lord has caused David to consider several things. First, he remembers all the wonderful deeds that God has done. David declares that God has multiplied wondrous deeds and thoughts towards us. After he realizes how much God has done and how much he cares, David concludes that none can compare with you. And God has done more than can be told. As David recollects the greatness of God, he remains confident that he can trust God at all times, especially in the seasons of waiting. The second result of waiting on the Lord is that David comes to realize the truth about his own life. John Phillips shares the following insights into this truth rediscovered by David. His mind ran over the sacrificial religious system demanded by the Mosaic Levitical law. David entered fully into the truth concerning ritual. He saw that, even though the sacrifices themselves spoke of Christ, they were inefficient and inadequate. Worse, these very sacrifices could be abused, For a person could come to the point where he actually believed that, because he had performed some prescribed ritual, he was therefore fully discharged of all further moral and spiritual obligation in the sight of God. We have the same thing today. Calvary has swept away all the sacrifices and offerings of the Old Testament, but we still have two ordinances that Christ left for his church: baptism and the breaking of bread. Some imagine that because they have been baptized or have appeared at the Lord's table, they have thereby discharged all their spiritual obligations. David saw through that and wrote off sacrifice without sincerity and ritual without reality as worthless. David has come to the realization that he delights in doing God's will, and he will tell the great news of God's deliverance publicly with boldness. The waiting time has encouraged his faith. He declares that he will not hide God's deliverance, but instead will speak of God's faithfulness and salvation. If you find yourself in a season of waiting on the Lord, utilize this time to encourage your faith in Christ and renew your desire to speak of his goodness. May this season increase your willingness to do God's will. Here are some questions to consider. How do you usually approach waiting seasons? What have you learned from David's approach found in Psalm 40? What truths about God can you consider during these waiting periods that will strengthen your trust in him? Thanks again for joining us. Have a great day.